You're listening to the Tim Price Go Harvest Podcast, a podcast designed to offer practical insight and encouragement to local church ministry leaders. We're thrilled to have you join us during this second season of the podcast and invite you to help us continue to reach new people by hitting subscribe and the 5-star rating. Blessings on you in your ministry, and for now, let's turn it over to Tim Price.
Hey, welcome to the Go Harvest Podcast. My name is Tim Price, and I'm thrilled today to share this conversation with Kylie, who used to serve on Harvest Ministry back in the mid-2000s, and since then has moved to Kansas City. And during this episode, she shares a little bit about hospitality and how that, what she's learning about that in her home and in life in general, about boundaries. And then the reason I actually originally invited her on was because of her thoughts about a picture that she took with her kids. And so looking forward to sharing this with you, and we will jump in right now.
Well, it's great to have you here on the Go Harvest Podcast, and take a minute to introduce yourself and tell us a little about where you are in life.
Thanks for having me. I'd love to do that. My name is Kylie Sammons, and I live in Kansas City, Missouri with my husband, Dustin, of about 8.5 years. We've been married. We have two kids, Davis, who is 4.5, almost 5, acts like a teenager, and Louise, who is almost 2. She'll be 2 in May. Those are our children.
Louise?
Louise.
Is that a family yes. name?
Louise is my mom's middle name.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We mostly call her Baby Lulu.
Oh, you call her Baby Lulu?
Yeah. or sister. So I don't know that she knows her name is Louise at this point, but that's fine. Yeah. She'll learn.
You're obviously mentioned your kids. So you're a mom, and what other irons are in the fire?
Man, I always thought I would just stay home with my kids. That's what I wanted to do. But as soon as Davis was 3 months, I was like, I'm kind of bored. I need to do something else. And so that kind of began, me realizing that there were things that, like, other things that I was passionate about. So I kind of am using my bachelor's degree now. I'm doing a lot of like social media management and graphic design and that sort of thing, in addition to being a mom to two kids. And that's what keeps me busy.
The reason I initially sent you a little note and said, hey, I should have you be on our Go Harvest Podcast. You posted a picture with your kids, and then you wrote out this thing about pictures with your kids. And I just thought that was really interesting. What was the catalyst behind that?
As a mom, it's really hard to feel seen sometimes. I realized that I have like hardly any pictures of me and my children, unless it's been a professional photo. And
because you're always taking them, or because
I'm taking them a lot of the times. Yeah, I'm taking the pictures, or I don't like the way that I look, or, you know, I don't feel like it would be adequate or whatever. So I felt compelled in this moment of like having, you know, in that moment, I asked Dustin, like, will you take a picture of me and the kids? Like just doing a random thing, which is literally just like laying there. Davis was playing a game on my phone, and they like to look at pictures of themselves. And I felt sad thinking about, you know, scrolling back through pictures over the year and only seeing pictures of themselves or pictures with Dustin, but not any pictures with me. Felt like, okay, I really need to let this like insecurity go of feeling like I need to look a certain way in a picture, because I want them to see that their mom also spent time with them. She didn't just take pictures. She, you know, that I sat there with them, played with them, and that was captured. And that, you know, hopefully years down the road, they're able to recall memories because of a picture.
So. It's weird because the older generation that didn't have access to pictures every 30 seconds, pretty much you see a picture of your grandparents and it's like the one or two pictures. That's like the image you have. And now it's like we're overloaded with pictures, but you're probably right. Like most of the pictures aren't just of sitting there. And so if their memories are going to be of all these different pictures they have, you better just include everything, because that's what they're going to be counting on.
Right. That's weird. True.
Like there's no imagination to your memory. It's just.
Yeah. So. Cause I even think about, like, as a kid, I'm trying to recall like first memories. I feel like I had my first memory when I was three, because it was, I had like a weird traumatic thing happen with a flower box that fell on top of me. But you know, I don't remember a ton of pictures, but the pictures like I do remember, you know, really did help recall other things that were happening in that time frame. And so
yeah.
I hope that can be the same way for my kids, and they're not going to see how I see myself in a picture when they're looking at a picture of me, because that doesn't mean anything to them. I'm just mom. And
yep, that is really true. And that's huge for, I mean, that's a big implication for any parent or person. It's mm-hmm. also big for parents who are in ministry, because, you know, you're sitting around dealing with people in whatever mm-hmm. ministry role you have in life, dealing yeah. with people and thinking about things, and, you know, sometimes good, some days are bad, and you come home and then you're still just mom. Like, nobody sat around and said, oh, well, you messed this up, or you did great at that. I mean, there's like the lines of those yeah. two extremes are almost non-existent. All right. So a couple quick topics here. And then, Kylie, I just want to talk a little bit about the old days. COVID pandemic stuff has pretty much affected every aspect of life. And then the longer this goes on, even a few more little tidbits, you like realize, oh man, yeah, that's changed. And it's like, mm-hmm. you just notice it here and there. Down the road, people are going to be listening to podcasts and they're going to be sitting around saying, what in the world? Everybody's talking about the pandemic. That's, I mean, we can't talk about it forever, but
the implications though, for years to come, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Or what has God been teaching you in these areas of life yeah. during all this?
A lot of things. Dustin and I have always been people who have welcomed people into our home, mostly for fun sake. I mean, that's not entirely true, but, you know, opening our home, hosting things, entertaining has been something that we have loved to do and felt really good at. When the pandemic hit, you know, we weren't able to do that. So that actually exposed a lot of things in me. It's maybe like some idols of wanting to look a certain way for people, or just not getting to provide that same type of what I would probably think is hospitality, but it's more so like, you know, entertainment for people. And, you know, I was just kind of stripped away. And so I really had to ask God to show me places where I'm not actually being hospitable, like in my heart. Most of what I feel like he's been teaching me, or what I've been learning, is like how to make room for people. That's just kind of the phrase that I've kind of clung to. I read it on a like a devotional. And so I was just like, oh yeah, making room for people. Like, what does that mean? And what does that mean for us to be hospitable? And that is to just make room for people. With COVID, you know, you had to be very strategic, I guess maybe is the right word, of how we could make room for people. And I'm sure you experienced this being in ministry, or just a human being and that has access to social media and the news and everything. Like, there's so much like polarization of just things that it made it really hard to make room for people that thought differently or dealt with things differently. And so God has really shown me what it looks like to make room. And I mean, I'm still learning. I don't think that that's like anything that is achieved. There's still room to grow there.
Well, making room, I mean, that's an awesome phrase, and that is needed, because everybody is all over the board, and it's just weird, because that's a great little phrase. So obviously this isn't just like making room in your house. This is like, right. It could be that, but it's also yeah. just making room in, you know, your life, making space for you. But you also yeah. mentioned something about like the sense or the feeling of having it set up enough, you know, like the idea of hospitality. Sometimes in the modern church world, the big push is, hey, get into a small group, meet in your home, build a lot of community. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's for everybody? Or is it take the few people that mm-hmm. really are good at it or love it, or, you know, can't get enough of it, to be the ones to kind of be the hosts? There's like a place like for,
yeah, I'm an external processor. So as I answer this question, it's me just like exercising these thoughts for the first time out loud, but I think it is for everybody. I think if you are a follower of Jesus, we are called to make room and to be hospitable, because it is more than just entertaining or having the best snacks or whatever in your home, or having your home, you know, picked up or put together. Like, those things shouldn't really matter. And there are roles within the church that I think some people as a Christian, as a member of a church, aren't necessarily going to have, just because they don't have the training. You know, not everyone's going to be a pastor. Not everyone's going to be an elder of a church. Not everyone's going to lead in whatever capacity. But I think our greatest calling in the church as a Christian is to like help disciple people. I do think it is for everybody. I don't know that everybody would do it.
Well, maybe everybody would do it, but not everybody. I mean, like you said, some are apostles, some are pastors, some are elders and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Some people in the church are gifted for making people mm-hmm. feel welcome and
sure.
welcoming the stranger and making room in that way.
Sure.
And I guess other people in church could just be a support role in that. Like, you know, mm-hmm. it's almost best if somebody is hospitable and then you have a few people that know you well to help create that environment. And then sure. it's like, that makes it even easier, because then there's like connections and friendships and
yeah, for sure.
Well, that is an awesome phrase. And I've always loved, you know, having people in our home, and you've been in our home. And so, you know, like we've sat around with a lot of people over the years, and we've been in a lot of homes over the years. Like, that's the unique part of, like, it feels like Acts kind of ministry when you're, you know, some of it is, like you say, just for giggles and grins and snacks and parties and, you know, just being around people. And then other times it's more pointed and focused, like hospitality of people you don't know, or teaching or leading or small groups or intentional discipleship type stuff. But I'm excited about when COVID's over and it's much easier to have people just sitting down again.
And yeah, for sure.
Seems like the connection will be better than it was.
Yeah. I think we took a lot of things for granted, and as much as a talkative or outgoing person I am, I'm pretty introverted in terms of like how I am refueled, but it's, you know, really weighing on me and a lot of people to not be able to interact with people in ways that we did previously. So I know I personally am very excited about that.
Well, people will probably be more open to it. And pre-COVID, you'd try to get people together and it took mm-hmm. forever to get a date.
Yeah.
And now I think it's going to be easier to set a date.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be easier to say, hey, what are you doing? Partly because everybody's routines have been changed and it's going to be a long time before it gets back.
Yeah.
Partly because
you're going
to be hungry for it.
Yeah.
Well, that leads us into the second thing, which is this topic of boundaries. And I just wonder if you have any wisdom on that in your growing learn as you talk wisdom.
Yeah. Oh man. In terms of boundaries, I mean, I feel like I could talk about this for 5 hours on 800 different types of boundaries or people to have boundaries with or whatever. I guess you could say I'm kind of passionate about talking about boundaries and helping people set boundaries, because in ministry, I think it's really easy to think that if God has called us to something that we, you know, just have to say yes all the time. And that gets really exhausting and overwhelming. I think I felt like, okay, I have the time and space to do all these things, which I did. And I'm super thankful for the time and the energy to commit myself to different ministries or ministry opportunities. But then, you know, when I got married, that changes. There's another person in the picture. And how do I honor commitments that I've already said yes to, but also how do I bring my husband into these conversations and not decide something, you know, that is going to affect both of us. And early in our marriage, I said yes to things that I think later were not really, you know, as I reflect on it, like, okay, that wasn't really helpful, or I actually didn't really want to do that. I don't know why I said yes to that. And I think I had a lot of fear of letting people down, or fear of, specifically when it came to ministry things, like, but it's not. And I've just learned that more and more. I think like every year there's been some other dynamic of some type of boundary, whether that's a, you know, having to create a boundary with a friend, having to create a boundary with, I've learned that it's not just to protect myself. I think it's there. I think a boundary is there to like, yeah, it's there for healthy reasons, you know, to be able to maintain relationships with people that you don't want to.
So what is like a, I mean, I know people probably know an example of a boundary, like the idea of saying no is a big boundary. Just, I mean, it's like a line that it kind of comes with wisdom and maturity and focus in life. And, you know, you're not able to be all over the place and all those things. And it also comes from the experience of saying yes to something. And while you're doing it, you're like, what am I doing? And so you just, you can't hardly, nobody could just tell you, hey, make sure you say no. You have to learn that.
You do have to learn that. And there are times that, you know, you begrudgingly, is that the begrudgingly, whatever that word is, do something that you wish you would have said no to. And then, you know, when it's done, you're like, wow, that was really amazing. I'm actually really glad that I stepped into that.
Yeah. I mean, I think God can use even our stressed out moments of overcrowded schedules and all those things to like still bring about his glory and do things in our own lives.
Sure.
But it's like the simplicity of living more simply and all those things. But what is like an example of a friendly, calm, everyday, natural boundary builder? Like, what does that even look like? I mean, it's easy to say no to a friend if they say, hey, you want to go here? And you're like, well, I better not. I need to rest or whatever. But
what
can you think of an example that's just like out there that would be natural?
Allowing yourself to pause and to really think, like, you know, certain situations are not emergencies. And so I think we approach a lot of things as very urgently, just that's our society, I think. And we want answers really, you know, we want things really fast. And so I don't know that this is an example, but I feel like this is a good process or practice of, if, you know, to discern whether or not you need a boundary in a situation. So when someone asks, hey, are you available to do this thing? Say, I'm just going to give a example, like babysitting. I don't know. Are you available to babysit? Are you free to babysit? I'm giving this as an example because this was early in our marriage, like this happened. Like I felt like, because I didn't have kids, that when we were first married, that I felt like I should just babysit whenever, but I didn't want to do that. When someone asked if you're available, that was hard for me, because if like literally in my calendar, I did not have anything going on, I felt like I couldn't say no. I felt like I would be lying. I felt like I wouldn't be answering that question, you know, with integrity, because to say I'm available, it's like, well, yeah, actually, if you looked at my calendar right now, which you don't have access to, but if you did, you would see that I have nothing on my calendar. So I think that when people are asked to do things, even if they are free and they see that they're free, like just take a moment to say like, okay, what has the week looked like prior to this? Or what do I have after this, like certain event? Or will that just add more distress to my day? Like just taking time to like process the other things that are happening before and after maybe that event. Yeah. And if you emotionally and mentally are going to have the capacity to do that, because I think we say yes to things all the time. And then it's a stressful day and I don't want to do that thing anymore. And I don't like being flaky. And so I don't want to say yes to something that I feel like I'm going to have to say no to later. So I'd rather try and have a lot of self-awareness to honestly answer the question. And that might even be, you know, hey, could you do this? You know, I'm not sure. I, you know, not even giving a complete answer because you're just not really entirely sure in that moment. I don't know if that's helpful or more confusing, but I feel like that's how I go about processing or discerning whether or not saying yes to that thing.
It is almost a trick question. Are you available? Because you don't know. The answer, really, the good answer is maybe. I mean, it depends on what they're asking. Like,
right, that's
are
true.
You available? Because I wanted to give you $10,000 and so meet me here.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're
like,
right.
Yeah, I'm available for that. But,
and I think that we respond. I think I feel or have felt, and I still feel this. I have to like stop myself from reacting. Well, I can't really stop myself. I have to just really pause when someone asks something. Because I don't want to react in a way that feels like they've violated a boundary that they don't even know that I've maybe set up with them or whatever. But What are you doing Friday afternoon? And I don't know. Yeah, it really does depend. What are you about to tell me? Just tell me what it is to start with.
That is true. That's like another bit of wisdom in terms of asking people. And I've learned that just being basically investing all my life, inviting people to do things. Like that's sure. what I constantly do. And I still do, like, every weekend. And so you almost have to frame the question in such a way that gives them an out either way.
Sure. But, well, and there's this other concept of it's actually a book like about boundaries, but this picture of a knapsack and a boulder. And, you know, we all have knapsacks that we carry. That's like our daily responsibility. That's like our dealing with, you know, taking kids to and from, that's paying bills, that's, you know, just daily responsibilities that we have. And we all have to carry our own knapsack. But there's also, we have boulders. Those are like the really big things. That's like helping a neighbor whose husband just passed away, like, you know, moving to a new home. That's helping, you know, these boulders, like things that we can't carry on our own. And I think where boundaries get really mixed up and we feel the most tension in boundaries is when we are asking people or people are asking us to carry their knapsack and not asking us to carry their, not asking us to help with their boulder or our own boulder. Yeah. And they just get really mixed up, and that's where boundaries feel violated and, you know, respected.
That's a cool image. Because when there's a death in the family or some major mm-hmm. thing, everybody bends over backwards. They make meals and they get off work and go to funerals. I mean, they do everything right. they can, and it doesn't feel like an obligation.
Yeah.
If somebody just, you know, needs this or that and it's prolonged, then that can be kind of strange.
Yeah.
But it is weird because these two topics, which are awesome, and I appreciate all your thoughts. It's just, I mean, this is for everybody, but it is weird because if you start mixing the rules of making boundaries in order to have a healthy life and the messiness of hospitality, you're in a constant place of, I better do this. I better do that. I better not do that. People aren't easy.
How do I make room? And then also, you know, have a boundary and not spread myself too thin.
Yeah. And sometimes you're saying no because you're trying to make room for your kids or your husband, or, you know, there's other sure. reasons to say yes and no. Well, those are both awesome topics. And I think you have a lot of wisdom, and I love the whole picture, and moms just sort of saying, I don't really care if my hair is nice. I'm going to get a picture with my kids and let them have a memory. And, and then all that you're learning. As we wind down here, and I appreciate you being a part of this and everybody who's listening, but you were part of Harvest Ministry back in not the old days. I think it was like 2007.
2007. Yeah. But I'd actually applied to be a counselor at a summer camp in Kansas, which is really ironic that now I live close to Kansas, but it's not ironic, I guess, but I had applied for that and didn't get it. And it was kind of a messy, like, frustrating situation. And I remember feeling really like defeated of like, what am I going to do this summer? Like, I have no idea. I felt like that's what God wanted me to do. And clearly not. So, I was friends with Jeff, and, I guess had he traveled the summer before? I'm not really sure.
Yeah. He went the summer of 06, I remember. And so we did a lot of traveling in the van and singing at camps and churches and places and conferences and colleges. And so how was it that you actually got connected originally? Do you remember?
It was definitely through Jeff Nail. I was actually thinking about this morning. Like, I feel like I committed to doing it, and I don't know that I had ever sang or anything in front of you. Like, I don't think I auditioned. Do you have auditions? I have no idea. I mean, I don't do any of that. I can't remember. Do you remember?
I don't exactly remember, but I remember you coming over to the church with Jeff. And sometimes auditions are like gut feeling auditions, and other times it's more formal.
Okay. Then it must have been a very informal thing, because I don't remember a formal, would you please now sing, you know, How Great Thou Art in whatever key? No. So I got connected through Jeff. I think we did a training like in that April. before we left. And I think it was then that I just was so, you know, got really excited for the summer, because I felt like our team, the dynamics of our team were really great. And I was just really excited to come alongside all these people and the ministry.
Yeah. And there's a quote that I've said a million times, and that is that anybody can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only God can count the number of apples from a seed. And it's so weird to think about. You just never know what kind of impact we had at Mission Possible in Tennessee, or, you know, that did we go to Virginia for that one camp?
We did go to Virginia. Mission
camp. And then just Beulah, Epworth, and places and people and churches. There's just no way to know how God used, you know, those times.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. For sure. So there's that side of things. And then there's the other side of things, which is just hanging around and fun with Christian believers at like that age in life, you know, 19, 20, 21. It just seems formative to me.
I do have some memories. I have two, I'll say sincere things that helped really shape me and then other memories. So the two, one just being like meeting one of my now very best friends through Harvest, and, you know, just seeing how God used that ministry to introduce us, Jenny, you know, Jenny.
Oh yeah.
We're still very best friends. And so that was huge. Like, and after that, like just the things that we walked with, each other through in life, now I'm going to cry. We're just huge and, really amazing. So I'm super thankful for that. Another thing is I remember that you always used to make me go first in line. When we were getting food at places, you would tell me to go first. And I hated that, because it made me uncomfortable, but I think that it actually gave me a lot of confidence, in other places to go first, to like lead, to, take the first step, to take a risk, to say, hey, like, come alongside me and do this. Like, I'm doing it. And so I don't know if it's necessarily from those moments, but if I can like trace it back to, you know, where I feel like I am now in terms of, initiating just things or whatever,
just
I can trace it back to those moments of like, oh, I was kind of forced into that, not forced, but you know, hey, go ahead and go first, go eat or whatever. And not liking that and it being uncomfortable. But you know, by the end of the summer, you know, specifically, that summer of just expecting that and kind of owning that role of leading in that way by going to first in line to eat.
That is awesome. And we not only rode around the van, but you also, you helped our church. Like, do you remember that couple semesters of like worship flow and planning and music and the old days of copying before everything was on iPads and all that kind of stuff. And so I have several different memories of you serving and appreciated your part in that. One little trip in particular, and this is only funny for us and nobody else, but the Tennessee trip one year, when we did that Mission Possible event with all those, you know, Tim and all those guys down there.
Yes.
And so each day we stayed in a school library, and each day we'd do mission projects all around the community. And then at night we'd lead worship and basically preach. I mean, that was like the whole thing.
Yeah.
And do you remember all that?
And
I don't know why this sticks with me either, but we were at another event where they were having lunch and there was extra sandwiches, and they were chicken salad.
They were so good.
They were so good. And there was like one left or something. And I went up and got it, and I came back, and there weren't any more. And I said, well, I don't want the whole thing. I'll split it with you. And so we both had half of a chicken salad sandwich, and there's kids like running amok everywhere in this cafeteria. And we're
I'm picturing it right now.
We're quietly eating this chicken salad sandwich. And you look up and total sincerity say, I'm really glad we did this. That was such a funny, I never eat chicken salad without thinking of, I'm really glad we did this.
I am glad that we did that though. That was a good chicken salad sandwich. I think it was on a croissant, which is like the best way to eat chicken salad sandwiches.
Oh my.
So good. Went to Wesley Woods, I think is what it's called. It's up in Michigan. And when we got there, first of all, this camp is like, the actual facilities were like way more extravagant than I felt like we had maybe experienced, or maybe not extravagant, but like, there's just a lot there. It's a different kind of camp experience. But when we got there, there were like, we found out we were, I think, music and the speakers, like we had no, they had nobody else. Like it was just us. I remember one day Jenny and I stole a golf cart and drove like on these, like this dirt bike path. And I don't know, that week and that experience was something else. And I think where we like had worship, the, you know, the kids would like jump and we thought the building was going to fall down.
Oh yeah. I remember. I wasn't even there that week.
You were not there. That's why I think that this was like a very, like, what do we do?
But I remember the, I remember all the stories from that.
Yeah.
Well, for anybody who's listening who may not know even really hardly what Harvest is, it's basically college age students getting together and serving together. And that's still going on today. And so if anybody's listening and would like to participate, we can talk with you and we can do it. But the one thing I do know is that Jesus, and you don't have to remember, people don't have to remember every little memory. That's just part of like living life. Yeah. But the one thing I know from those experiences is that you get a glimpse of what it's like to follow Christ and have fellowship with Christian people while you're serving in life. And so those are like foundations that just kind of stick with you. I mean, like,
yeah,
it's just amazing. So praise the Lord for that.
Me too.
Well, Kylie, it's great to talk to you, and it's great to hear a little bit about your life, and it's awesome to hear your thoughts on a couple of these things, and we'll have to talk again. I know this will sound goofy, but we have a little people playset. It's like one of those little preschool play school things or whatever, Fisher Price, and it's a little Thanksgiving set, and it's got four people. And you were around the era when Ruby was like 2 and 3 years old, my oldest daughter. And she basically learned all your names and thought you were the coolest people. And so those little people are named Mike, Jenny, and Kylie. And like she named
these
little
seriously?
People. Yeah, they've always been
funny.
That. Because
I didn't know that.
It was like this little snapshot in her life in this moment when she was that age, and she, you know, she traveled with us to hang around, and you know, just
she did
she knew everybody, and so we pulled those out at Thanksgiving and put it still in the middle of our table. So
funny. I love that. Then that I can be a part of that in some capacity,
some weird mystical way.